One of the busiest and one of the best actresses from the days of radio and into television and beyond is Virginia Gregg, and we're so happy to be out in Southern California to visit with her today. Virginia, welcome to our Those Were the Days get-together.
Thank you.
Now, where did you first start in radio? Where was it? Was it out here?
It was out here, and it was peculiar. I've always been going to be an actress. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Pasadena. So I worked at the Pasadena Playhouse while I was going to school and did a little theater work and so forth. But I also was a musician. I played double bass viol.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I played 4 years with the Pasadena Symphony. And then I got into a group called the Singing Strings. That was three violins, cello, bass, and piano, girls, all girls. We went on staff at CBS for a year. We went on staff at the Mutual Network for a year and a half. But I still had that little bit of a discontent. I didn't want really to make music my life.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be an actress. So they started having me do things with the group, like Diary of a Young Woman. And if they needed somebody around the studio, I did the Rise and Shine show and... You know, just started with Maury Amsterdam and Mabel Todd. And suddenly I said, I don't want to be a musician anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I sold my bass that day.
Oh,
so I wouldn't go back to it. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then it was quite difficult to make the break because people knew me as a musician. And everybody knows you can't do two things.
Yeah, yes.
But I did have enough friends that I started in Calling All Cars and some of the really good shows, Lux Radio Theater.
Yes, and you worked many, many times on the Lux Radio Theater,
uh-huh,
didn't you?
Yeah.
And you worked with some of the major stars that would come on. And mostly you were in a supporting role. Did any of the stars ever not show up and Virginia Gregg got a big...
No, not on Lux. Uh-uh.
They always had somebody.
Well, that was a repeat. Once... a star didn't show up for the second show. It was a live repeat.
Mm-hmm.
One first one to the east, second one to the coast, this coast. And somebody had to rush in and do him, but it's the only time I ever remember.
See, what happened to him?
He forgot the second show.
Oh.
He just forgot. In New York, they always have the two. They go to New York and one to this coast.
You did a lot of that, didn't you? The two shows.
You
had to do the before, I guess, the late 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
And when
we did.
One of the things that you did best on radio, I think, was being the girlfriend of the private eye.
Oh, I did a lot
of those.
The
secretary.
Yeah.
I mean, you were with Nikki Ellery Queen's assistant.
Yeah, with Larry Dobkin.
Larry Dobkin was Ellery
when he first
at that time.
Came out here. Larry is now a writer, director. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of pictures with Larry.
And you worked with... Dick Powell and Richard Diamond.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
At the end of those shows, it was always a lot of fun because he would always kind of come back to, I think you were Helen? Helen Asher,
I think was the name of the role. So.
He always come back to your place and then they'd sing a little song and there'd be a little cute little repartee between the two of you. And you
on most of those shows, I doubled other parts too. Maybe if an old charwoman came in or something, I'd do those.
Did you often use an alternate voice then on these shows?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Can you give us a charwoman's voice?
Now?
Sure.
Oh, well, you'd have to hand me a script and say, here, do her.
Take this bucket.
Yeah. And what do you want her in? Japanese, Swedish?
Oh, you do the
German,
dialects,
Jewish?
Dialects and everything.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Did you freelance most of the time through this period?
Well, in radio days, yeah, that's what you did. Mm-hmm. I was doing as high as five shows a day, but I did Brooksy with Bob Bailey.
On Let George Do It.
Yeah, and I also did...
You worked with him on Johnny Dollar, too, I think, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. One Man's Family I did for... 9 years. I did Betty on that.
That was Jack's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So you were,
and I also did another character when she came in.
Mm-hmm. So you really had a varied career with
But then that didn't you weren't strictly under contract to those shows.
You just got the job, and then
you had to be available for when they were there.
I worked. You stayed with it then.
Yeah, I worked at who we were just talking about, our conductor. Who were we just talking about? That I said remembered all the dates and places.
Oh, Rudy Valley.
Rudy, yeah, Rudy. I did Villa Valley. I don't know how long that lasted. I guess it wasn't terribly long, but I did a running part on that.
Did you work with
Jack Webb? I was in that stock company.
In his Dragnet series and all that, yeah. Did you work with Lionel Barrymore and Lou Ayres?
Yes, I did Nosey Parker on that.
Oh, Nurse Parker on the story of Dr. Kildare.
Yeah.
And that ran for quite a while.
A long time.
Yeah. What you say you were doing five shows a day sometimes. Mm-hmm. What kind of a day did you have? What did
busy.
You have
Very busy. Well, at the height, I didn't always do five shows a day. But you see, the studios were all very close. Mm-hmm. CBS and NBC and Mutual were all within walking distance practically. So if I was doing working with Lionel or working with any CBS show, Lionel was on NBC. If I was working a CBS show, I would have somebody rehearsing for me at NBC.
Someone would rehearse for you?
Uh-huh.
So you and would go in then without rehearsal?
Well, maybe you'd get a run-through or something. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, usually.
How soon in advance would you get a script for
you? You never got a script in advance.
Didn't get one. Uh-uh. When they rehearsed it,
in the early days, you went in and you had a conference, a story conference, and a read-through, and you'd say, well, I don't think she would say this, or wouldn't it be better if... And you could talk a show over and have a first read-through.
Mm-hmm.
When radio kind of faded out toward the end there, particularly with Jack. Now, Jack Webb really did have a stock company. He used the same people. And so did Jack Johnstone, pretty much. They would say such things as, now, next week you're doing an Irish, and I'd say, I don't do Irish. And they'd say, sure you do. And I would get it, and you do Irish. Or Chinese, or whatever they tell you to do. We would go in. They'd hand us the script. Jack wouldn't be there. We'd start to mark the script. Maybe you wouldn't even get it all the way marked. And he'd say, okay, let's cut. Let's tape it.
And there you go.
You hear yourself say the first few sentences, and you think, oh, that's my character. And if he didn't like it, of course, he could always cut it and say, no, you're off there. I want her more this or that, or try Brooklyn or something else, and then you'd start again. But you didn't get a rehearsal, not even a read-through at the end.
An actress, then, such as yourself, really had to be very, very versatile.
Yes, and radio people did.
To pick up on all of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It was a lot different from television or the movies because you didn't have to worry about makeup or costumes and
totally
all that sort
different.
Of thing.
Totally different.
And when now you talk about taping the Dragnet shows and that sort of thing, you were fortunate to be involved in that good chunk of radio as it was so-called by transcription, they said, or pre-recorded now.
Yeah.
Because you did have the opportunity to package it on at a realistic hour, if nothing else.
Well, that's true.
And
One Man's Family, we would do shows for the week. And one day, they were 15-minute shows. So,
you were on an awful lot of CBS shows during, I would say, perhaps the last decade of radio as it really was radio. The 50s, most of the 50s, you were on the Escape and Frontier Gentlemen and Have Gun Will Travel and I wonder. I know you did so many shows. A note that I have says that you before you played the girlfriend or the secretary of all these private eyes on Have Gun Will Travel, you were the girlfriend of Hey Boy.
Oh, Yeehaw. That was Ben Wright.
Uh-huh.
He's marvelous. I hope you get an interview with Ben Wright.
I'd like to.
Oh, he would be a good interview. He's so bright and so talented. And I'm sure remembers a lot
the best of those days for you? The best of the radio days.
What do you mean by what was?
What did you enjoy doing the most of that? Did you just enjoy working in
I enjoyed
general,
the whole thing. I enjoyed the people in it, too. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of loyalty, camaraderie. Mm-hmm. See, we were together so much. In the beginning... Oh, in the beginning. Somebody else said that one. In the beginning, there were, I think, 1,500 members of AFRA, then mm-hmm. AFRA. They figured about 400, 450 did practically all of the work.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that wasn't very many. And we spent a great deal of time together, and that was before the days of tape.
Mm-hmm.
Or even on tape, lots of times you spent many hours together. But we would have a break. You didn't have long enough to go anywhere. We got to know each other very, very well. And our problems, they were like family. And we'd hear about somebody who was having kind of a rough time. We'd go to one of the other producers and say, gee, Dick's having a hard time paying his rent. Do you think there's anything for him next week? And they'd get behind him and he'd be working.
So you'd all act as perhaps an agent for somebody else.
Yeah, for everybody else.
It really is a nice family kind of
relationship. It was. It was. We were very close and very loving, mm-hmm. very caring.
Did you have any disasters? Did you ever blow a show
good
or
heavens.
Something like that?
I never blew a show, mm-hmm. but I've sure blown enough lines.
Well, that's one of the great things about the tape, though.
Yeah.
But when you didn't have the tape, you really had
to just I did them without tape. Like, doctor, here is your hypodemic nurdle and such. I did that one. In the book it says Kathy Lewis did it, but she didn't. I'd be glad to give it to her.
Anybody else can have that.
Yeah, they can have that.
Now, did you start doing a little work in television after the radio scene was kind of...
Oh, yeah, I've done a lot of work in television.
What have you done?
Here we go. I did about, I would say, 65% of the dragnets
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
on television. Gunsmoke, all the westerns, Gunsmoke, Bonanza, Jack Benny Show, I don't know, almost everything.
You were then just as busy in television
yeah.
as you were
mm-hmm,
in radio.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about the dragnet thing again, working with Jack Webb.
Yeah.
You were a part of his company,
yes.
so to speak. Mm-hmm. It was an informal company,
yeah.
wasn't it?
Oh, yes, sure.
I mean, he didn't
It's
have
just
a
that he relied on these people. He formed mm-hmm. not meaning to, I'm sure. He didn't set out to form a group, but it was very hard to break into that mm-hmm. little company of his.
He
it was Vic Perrin and, you know.
He looked, I think, for a naturalness on the part of his
oh,
actors.
Oh, yes, he did.
And he wanted the audience, whether on radio or television, to identify with these people, or at least to listen to them and say, that is really how this
That's right.
this person would sound on that.
Yeah, but that being so, strangely, I have done some of the broadest characters I've ever done for Jack. I mean, really broad, far-out characters. Except he felt that they were real. Mm-hmm. What he didn't want you to do was act.
I see.
As long as you could be real in whatever you were doing, that was fine.
What kind of direction did he give you then with that end in mind?
Not any more than he had to.
Uh-huh.
Not character direction. He'd hand you the part and say mm-hmm. she's A, or it was written out that mm-hmm. way. And if you got too far off, he'd bring you back. Mm-hmm.
And you knew what was expected of you, and
sure
he knew
did.
That you could
uh-huh.
do what he was looking for.
That's
so
right.
It just
yeah.
How long did it take to do a dragnet radio show, for example? Would it be a one-day thing?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
A whole day? Half a day?
No, not a whole day.
Not even a whole day. Uh-huh. By that time, dragnet came in the late 40s, I think, is when it started.
Probably Jack came down from San Francisco.
Yeah, he had done a number of different kinds of things.
I worked with Jack as an actor when he first came down, before he had his own show.
On the stage, you mean?
No,
or
in radio.
In radio.
When he was an actor here mm-hmm. in town.
Mm-hmm. Now, when that moved to TV and you moved along with him
that.
To TV.
And also into features with him, too. With it.
Were you in the dragnet feature?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I played the one-legged drunk.
Oh.
Did you ever
now
see
that's
it?
I'm sure I didn't. I must say that I can't remember the the one-legged drunk.
Yeah, she was the wife of the... If you saw the feature, the Dragnet feature, not the DI but or any of the others, but the, that, you know the opening where he's mowed down, walking down a hill?
Oh, yes, yeah.
I was his wife. Oh. When they go to investigate, and here she is out on the Davenport with the drink.
Oh.
Just boiled to the eyeballs. And then when she gets up, they find she only has one leg.
And you were out of it before the opening credits almost, huh?
Yeah.
Right
there.
Yeah,
it was a marvelous part.
That's that tells me something about the loyalty that Jack Webb
had
for the people that he worked for. Worked with, I should say.
And he was wonderful to work for.
Now, you were on the Jack Benny TV show. What kind of things did you do for Jack?
Oh, I only did one of those. I didn't like to do live television. I did, what did they call that early morning show that was live? It was strange, and all kinds of things went wrong on it. And I said, I don't want to do any more live. But they made a very attractive offer on this, and I only did the one, and I really didn't like it. I love Jack. He's sweet to work with, and the company was marvelous. But I'm just not cut out to do live television.
Other features that you might have been in?
Well, my very first feature was Body and Soul with John Garfield. Love is a Many Splendid Thing. I'll Cry Tomorrow. My last one was SOB, Operation Petticoat. I've done a lot of them.
So you're still very, very active in the business today?
Spencer's Mountain.
Doing a lot of things.
I'm not as active as I once was.
Are you as active as you want to be?
Yes.
Well, that's good. That's all that counts. What was, would you say, the best role you ever had? Whether it be in movies or radio or television?
Oh.
One that was perhaps the most challenged to you?
You know, I don't really think there was one. I did a bag lady on a Lou Grant show that I liked an awful lot. That was just a couple of years ago on Skid Row. I enjoyed her. She was just a little batty, but that was a good, well-written. Anything that's well-written is fun to do, no matter what it is.
Well, you know, day in and day out, you really are the backbone of this entertainment industry.
Yeah.
A person like yourself who has a tremendous ability and can adapt well to any situation, whether it be radio or television or the movies, and you're always there and always adding that extra dimension of substance.
Oh, yes,
the
supporting people
That's right.
Most important.
And I don't suppose that you then have the pressures that the top leading people have.
No.
Everything has to be perfect for them and all of that business.
Well, further than that, I never wanted to be a star or that kind of... I'm not geared for that. I don't want to go into a restaurant and be surrounded. I have just enough of that. That really makes me feel very good that people recognize me and are flattering often. But I would hate that fishbowl existence. I'm not for that.
So
I don't think any of them really enjoy it forever.
What's on the agenda now for you?
Nothing that coming up now, right now. I do the one remaining radio show quite often. And that's that Salvation Army show, Heartbeat Theater.
Yeah.
I love doing that. I like doing any voice work.
Well, you have a very fine voice, and I know you are so versatile with it. And we have heard so many examples of your work, listening to many of the radio shows from those good days of... Those were easy days, and yet they were always, for you, I think it was
Oh, they were busy, nice, but they were wonderful.
You always had
I knew it at the time, because I knew how wonderful they were. I was very happy in radio. I was very happy in early television, too, but the industry has changed an awful lot. It's big business now, where it used to be an art form. Of course, SOB, Blake Edwards' picture was, I worked with Blake the very first thing he ever directed. He wrote for Dick Powell. and directed one of those shows. So I've known him since he was a kid and done a lot of things with him. But he runs it like the old days without the pressure. And
you say the decisions then are made more on a business-like basis.
I would think
than on
so. Uh-huh.
The final product should it could be better because we would do it this way.
I can't speak for a picture like, say, Yentl or some of the big budget pictures. No, I haven't done one in a long time, and I'm sure that that's different too. But just the run-of-the-mill picture, good picture. I don't know whether it's that I'm older or, well, I'm sure that's part of it. But I don't find the quality person in the actors today. Isn't that awful to say?
Would you say
but
that
I don't.
Is because they don't have the background and the training? They come in and jump in,
I
and they're
guess.
All of a sudden a star.
I guess, and then all of a sudden they're stars, and they believe what they read.
Only as
that isn't true with all of them. Of course, it isn't. There are a lot of wonderful people in it, young people.
As an observer of the motion picture industry, a fan as I am. I look at the movies today, and I think of the movies from the 30s and the 40s and early 50s, and you realize the star system, you know, and the studio system where they had the contract players, and they put you under contract for 7 years, and they really taught you the craft, and you moved up through there, and the studio would buy the property and direct you to do that, and I think the stars came out better and. Even the supporting players, everybody came out better and stronger for it. But today you get someone who makes some kind of an impact somewhere, and they put him in a star, and it's a great hit, and then the next picture
TV,
is a flop or something, whatever it is.
TV. Yeah.
And we don't have that the way it used to be.
Mm-mm.
We're glad we have you, though, to continue to do all of the fine things that you're doing. And I want to thank you for all the things that you've done in the past. You've entertained a lot of people with your talents.
It's been my great pleasure, too. I have enjoyed it thoroughly.
Thank you, Virginia Gregg. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you. It's nice to have been with you.